Good morning and welcome to Lincoln County Connections. I'm Casey Miller, Lincoln County's Public Information Officer. On the program today, a great show for you, Marsha Thompson. She's the Victims Advocate Supervisor. Good morning.
Good morning, Casey.
Also, Marsha Buckley. She's our Chief Deputy District Attorney.
Good morning, Casey.
We're going to talk about victims' rights. And, of course, we're in Victims' Rights Month. Victims' Rights Week is coming up, too, for Lincoln County. There's certainly a lot to talk about when it comes to victims' assistance. Marsha, being our victims' advocate, there weren't always resources for victims. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Historically?
Historically. You know, things have changed. Now, victims have rights that we are required to notify them of every single court hearing. They get to be informed of what's going on with their case. They have access to information regarding a program called Crime Victims Compensation, where they get some financial assistance. Our office helps people through the restraining order process if they need help. We do a whole lot of informational hand-holding, for lack of a better way to put it. And we have a bunch of really caring people, a lot of volunteers. They really work hard to get the information we're required to get out to victims. And Marsha, what kind of information do you put in those packets that you send out at the start of a case?
Well, based on the voters a couple of years ago sort of really upping up crime victims' rights through legislation, we have to notify victims in an initial letter with a packet explaining the criminal justice system. We enclose a crime victims' rights request form, and there are about eight victims' rights that they have the right to ask our office, the DA's office, victims' assistance, to notify them of specific hearings from the beginning of the crime all the way through, even through the appellate process. If someone is convicted, the victims now will be notified through the Department of Justice of the appellate process. Even 2 years ago, that wasn't happening. And so then we also provide them with a crime victim's compensation packet so that if they've been a victim of an emotional crime, they can apply for counseling. A lot of child cases, victims' cases, child abuse, criminal mistreatment cases, those children really benefit from the counseling piece, and medical services.
And if a victim or the victim's family is going to court, for example, for a sentencing where they got to look at the person that has harmed them, we have a victim's advocate available to go up to court with them and sit with them, lend them that support that they need.
So prior to there being some legislation saying, here's a system that will support victims, you could be intimidated. You might not show up to court dates. You wouldn't be aware of, you know, unless you yourself, and of course you're the victim here. This came upon you unawares, and suddenly your life is overturned. I think it seems sort of like a good moral obligation to provide these services, and people would maybe be lost without knowing there was some support.
10, 12 years ago, there was no focus on the victims whatsoever in criminal cases. Victims had virtually no rights, no voice.
I can remember 20 years ago, the main role appeared to be to gather the restitution information, submit it to the court, and that basically was the role of the victims' department. That's different now, very different now.
You know. And I can say we have a team of victim advocates in the victims department with the DA, district attorney's office, that are there solely based on passion, very committed to making sure that victims have a voice in the system, just being there to support them from the beginning through the end of the process and beyond. And I can't say enough for the advocates that are working in the department and the support that they give to victims.
And I feel like I want to add, if I can, you know, we got Marsha Thompson over here who runs the victims department. I mean, you know, she is the glue that holds it together. She works very hard every single day. And in addition to that, she's a rape victims advocate. She goes out all hours of the night, all over the county, to sit with rape victims during their examination. She doesn't get paid for that. You know, she does it because it comes from her heart and because she cares.
Yeah, and just to also, you know, so that everyone out there is aware, we have right now in the community, we have throughout Lincoln County, 5 rape victim advocates that are just volunteers solely. Mm-hmm. We had a lady that did it for over 25 years. I'm not talking from the time she gets the call at 2:30 in the morning, jumps in her car. No, nothing's paid for. She's not getting any hourly wage, no benefits for, you know, fuel. Going to the hospital, and from the onset, being with that victim all the way through could be 7-8 hours. And so that's the beginning of the process, and such an important piece that we have volunteers in the community that are supporting a rape victim at that point, because mm-hmm. that's a really scary process. And that's just the beginning. You know, we're not even at the point where a police report is filed at that point, mm-hmm. and then it begins through the criminal justice process. It can be a grand jury. It can go all the way through a trial where that victim has to come back in and testify. It's an amazing, you know, amount of support that that person needs.
It's hard to face someone that has harmed you. You know, it's a scary experience being a crime victim. And I'm so, so happy that we have the services in our office to be able mm-hmm. to give these people support. Because victims need support, and they need encouragement, and they need to have explanations as to how the process works. You know, we deal with it every day, but for folks that aren't dealing with the system every day, it's a very scary, just really enormous, you know, thing that you don't know anything about, and our victims department helps.
Well, maybe you could walk the listeners through a couple scenarios and where a victim's advocate steps in. Say there is a sexual crime. Somebody has been raped. They called the police, report the incident. At what point and who is then bringing in the victim's advocate? Who's picking up the phone and making the call to get that person location?
At that point, the initiated call would be possibly through LINCOM, to the police department. So at the time that the advocate then responds, law enforcement's involved. They sometimes initiate a report at that point. It depends on what condition that victim is in.
Mm-hmm.
The hospitals are amazing. You know, Samaritan communities throughout the county, they step in. We have rape sane nurses that are trained by the state that become a part of the exams.
Mm-hmm.
The process begins there, the initiation of that. And then the advocates are there to support that person on an emotional level.
So now in the case of, say, I arrive home at, you know, 6 in the evening and my house has been burglarized, at what point I make a police report, do the victim advocates come in on that case, in that scenario? Is it a little bit different
than a
sexual crime?
It is different. You call the police. They either arrest the person immediately if they know who it is, or they send over their reports to our office. But inevitably, the person will get charged with the crime. And once the person's charged with the crime and they head up to arraignment, our office sets up our file. It goes over to our victims department, and that's when Marsha Thompson's group steps in.
And then we initiate the call with the victims. So every morning, you know, let's say we get an in-custody list from the jail
mm-hmm.
from crimes that have been committed either the night before or finally there's been an arrest made. And then we proceed through usually information about the victim on the probable cause affidavit to make contact with those victims and make sure that they're aware from the initial step how the arraignment, the formal charging hearing is going to go. All the way through the process, we begin to afford them of the services that are available to them.
Now, this is Victims' Rights Month. How long have we been doing Victims' Rights Month? Any idea yet? Victims' Rights Weeks, these special times where we recognize the services you provide?
I'm going to go out on a limb and assume that Crime Victims' Rights Awareness Months have been ongoing since, you know, the onset of Crime Victims' Rights legislative.
Like,
yeah.
Late 60s?
Probably more like 70s.
More like 70s?
Yeah.
Well, we do have some events coming up. You're going to make a presentation on the 11th to the BOC?
That is correct.
Kind of a traditional proclamation?
Traditional proclamation. It's important for us each year to recognize the process and how it works, to let people know about crime victims' rights. And so we always do the proclamation at the Board of Commissioners, and then mm-hmm. we follow it up with our tree ribbon ceremony, where ribbons of different colors representing different categories of crimes are hung on the trees by either crime victims or people that want to be there, mm-hmm. people in law enforcement. But we decorate the trees in front of the courthouse with all of these ribbons, again, representing the different kinds of crime victims there are.
So the public's welcome.
The public's
Absolutely.
Welcome.
Law enforcement can be there.
Absolutely.
People that have been victims of crime. Everybody kind of shows up and supports each other.
Yes.
And you can show up when you do. Do you get a colored
You let us know what kind of...
How does it work?
We provide the ribbons, and oh, do we have a lot of pre-cut ribbon. And you simply tell us what crime you want the ribbon for, and we give you the appropriate color. For example, domestic violence is purple.
Mm-hmm.
Get a purple ribbon, hang it on the tree.
So there's that event on the 18th. That's at noon. Mm-hmm. Public is welcome to come. 18th, the proclamation. And
actually, the proclamation is the week before, the
11th.
Yes,
got you.
In the Board of Commissioners meeting room at 9, I believe. 9 a.m.
9:30.
Okay.
Okay. And any other particular events?
On the 18th, from 1 to 3, mm-hmm. Following the ribbon ceremony, we're going to have a volunteer recognition ceremony or gathering just to say thank you to the many volunteers that work in our office.
Okay.
And throughout also all of the other agencies that we collaborate with, my sister's place, Children's Advocacy Center, CASA, will all be there to recognize the many volunteers that put in so many hours to volunteer in the criminal justice system.
You know, and in a moment, maybe we can talk about opportunities for volunteers. But can you two maybe talk a little bit more about why it's critical, the healing process, but also the process of sending a message as well to the perpetrator. How does this work?
When I do a sentencing in court, I love to have the victim present. And I like to have the victim present for several reasons. You know, I like for the court, for the judge, to have a chance to hear from the victim about how this crime impacted their life. I mean, that's a very powerful mm-hmm. message. I also like the defendant sitting there to hear from the victim how he or she impacted that victim. I want the victim to be able to tell the defendant, hey, you did this to me. This is how it impacted me, my family, my life. But the most important reason I like to have the victim there is for that closure that I think they get. You know, you're a victim of a property crime. You come home, your house has been burgled. You don't know who did it. You get to go to court at that sentencing. You get to face the person that did it. You get to look at them and see who did this to you, and you get to tell them how it made you feel. And I think that's so powerful.
And generally, where does the impact statement enter in? Is that at the sentencing?
Yes.
So
yes.
Does it have a chance to affect the juries? They've already kind of made their
The jury's already made their mind, but at sentencing, the judge gets to hear from the victim. And I think it is a powerful thing, and I think it does make a difference. Absolutely.
So would victims without advocates sometimes not show up to critical court dates?
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
How does that change the game?
Not only would they not be a part of the system if all these laws weren't in place or even have a voice, but just emotionally, that lack of emotional support without advocates there is critical. Sometimes we don't say a word. We just go with them. We sit by their side, and just the presence gives them the strength to be able to have a voice in the courtroom.
You know, when you're a victim of domestic violence, for example, and you're scared to death of the person that has hurt you repeatedly, it's a horrific thing to have to go to court and deal with them. And we have an advocate go up with them and sit with them, and they feel protected and safe.
So in the long run, whereas this benefits the victims, I mean, this may help reduce recidivism, too.
Absolutely.
Have you guys noticed
that? Absolutely. Well, I mean, it's mm-hmm. it's hard because so many of these cases, they're so complicated. You know, there's so many pieces that, you know, continue a person, say, in domestic violence. There are so many pieces that, you know, allow a victim to continue on in that cycle. But it's certainly offering the support that we can, the emotional support from the beginning mm-hmm. all the way through the end, can only be a positive.
And I'm an optimist. And I would like to think that yes, you know, it's going to have an impact on some of the defendants.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully it's going to help them realize what they've done is something that's impacting people in a very horrible way.
Let's talk about your staff and what amazing individuals these must be. Obviously, Marcia, you have a lot of sleepless nights. you're on a lot of speed dials, so we really appreciate everything that you do. But you must have a good team backing you up.
I have a great team. I couldn't do it without them. And we have two advocates right now, part-time, that do primarily domestic violence work, sexual assault work, child abuse. That's another primary caseload that I take on. Mm-hmm. But I have two other individuals that help with that, assist with that load. Then all of the property crimes, misdemeanors, violations. I mean, it is an enormous amount of work. And nobody in the office prioritizes. Like, no crime is more important than another. Everybody steps up to the plate. Somebody has to be in court, and then someone walks in at the last minute for a restraining order or a stalking order. There's always somebody to say, I'll take that. And so it is, we have a great team. I'd like to say thank you, because without them and the work that they do, it's impossible to provide the services. And it's amazing the emotional drain that this kind of work is for a person.
How do you protect your team from the transference?
I make sure that I'm flexible with them. I allow them to have some flexibility with their hours, family things. A lot of the people in my office have young children. Those pieces are always, mm-hmm. important. We cover if they have an event to go to. We do a great job at being able to talk to one another in the office, because the confidentiality piece is huge. Mm-hmm. You can't leave the office.
Right.
So we really do a great job of talking to one another while we're there, and making sure that everybody is emotionally healthy. If people need time off, I make sure they have that.
And volunteers are also critical to your mission. And we've got about 3 minutes left, but can you tell me what, maybe if somebody's thinking about volunteering, or what you're looking for in a volunteer?
We welcome volunteers, both in the victims department and in the district attorney's office. We have all kinds of jobs that we need help with. The appropriate number to call, 541-265-4145. And Jill Wagner, our office manager, is the contact person. She can get the application forms out. You go through an application process, and we love our volunteers.
It sounds like with the enormous caseload, there can be some customization for volunteers.
Absolutely.
Put them in an area maybe they're more comfortable with.
Yes, we always make sure that they're doing the volunteer work that they feel comfortable with or want to be doing. And our office, I might say, with the grants that we're funded through, it's mandatory for us to have a certain number of volunteer hours mm-hmm. on a monthly basis.
Mm-hmm. And another point, primarily state and federal funding for victims advocacy.
Yes, that's it.
Yeah.
Yep.
You figure we take in 3,500 cases a year. We need help.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I thank you two for coming on the program. Any last thoughts in closing, you two?
No, just thank you. And I thank the community, too. I think we have a fabulous community. We have a fabulous law enforcement. We have a lot of nonprofits. There's a huge collaboration out there that makes all of this happen. And then the work that we do is supported through all of those pieces.
And our partnerships with our agencies that we work closely with, we're really, really fortunate.
Well, thank you, too, for all the work that you do. If you do want to learn more about what we've discussed today, or you're interested in volunteering, there is that one number. Contact Jill Wagner. She's the
office manager.
541-265-4145. And you can also find that information on Lincoln County's website. Put in Lincoln County in Google, or www.co.lincoln.or.us, and you can find more information about victims assistance, about our district attorney department. Thanks again.
Thank you.
So I appreciate it. In our last few moments here, I did want to remind you that coming up, if you would like to attend a Board of Commissioners meeting, please do so. We'll be doing a proclamation on the 11th about victims' rights. It's going to be the time we're proclaiming Victims' Rights Week, but that will be April 22nd through 28th. And also remember, there's going to be a ribbon cutting on the 18th for Victims' Rights. That's an event that'll be on the courthouse lawn at noon. And you can come and join law enforcement, join other victims, join the advocates, a chance to meet them. If you were interested in volunteering, that would be a good time to meet the people that are in this discipline. So thanks for listening today, and we'll see you next week.